Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
We are going to begin a Thanksgiving series, and through the month of November, be focused on Thanksgiving. Is it wild to think that there's 59 days left of this decade? It is coming to a close quickly, and I think it's good to take note when something is winding down, the perspective that we want to have on that thing. This last week, I went hunting with my daughter, Ronnie. And I go to my grandparents' house, and they've got some acres behind their house. And so we get all camoed up. We get all painted up, and we're ready for war, right? We're gonna take down Bambi. And so we go, and we sit in this blind, and in this deer blind, and Ronnie and I are here, and we're just hunkered down. We got our backpack, got a picture of us here, got our backpack, we've got all of our stuff ready. I mean, we look mean, don't we? We're ready to get after it. And we've got our bow, we've got all, you know, our doe pee, we've got, you know, all of this stuff, and she's in it. She's like, yeah, squirt me down, and you know, she's like, she wants to get this doe or a buck, whatever. And so we get into the blind, and we sit, and we're just being quiet. And she says, Dad, let's go hunt. I said, we are. And she's like, no, like we gotta go hunt a deer. And I said, this is hunting. We just sit here. And then we hope like a deer walks by us. She's like, oh no. we're not doing that. We gotta go hunt a deer. And so Judah gave her a little pocket knife. So she grabs a stick and she starts carving away at this little knife, at this little stick, making all kinds of noise. And she said she's gonna carve a sword and then she's gonna go chase a deer. And she's gonna get this deer. So she's all just fired up about this. So we sit and I'm trying. I mean, can we at least sit for an hour? We sit for 5 minutes and she's like, Dad, we gotta go. Come on, we gotta go. And all of a sudden, I had to shift in my mind, right? No longer is the goal trying to kill a deer. It's over. The goal now is to connect with my daughter. And it was a total meta shift. Okay, I gotta get rewired here. So we grab our stuff, and so we start hiking through and just stomping, crunching every leaf that was out there, stepping on every stick. Touching as many trees, just leaving our scent everywhere, right? Just touching everything that she possibly could. And so then we're like sliding down into these little creek beds, into these ravines, walking through creeks, hiding behind every tree, climbing every tree. If we saw a tree stand, we're climbing in that tree stand. You know, we're looking. I don't see anything. I mean, 2 minutes. Don't see anything. Let's go. Boom, we're back down that tree stand. We were just, I mean, all of the deer were just sitting back just laughing at us. Just like, look at these guys. And we were up and down and all over and spying and, you know, this whole deal. It was just wonderful. Awesome. This was on Thursday when it was raining and then it started snowing. So we finally get back to our blind and it's kind of like this camo tent that you can like pull down windows in and this whole deal. And so we're sitting in this tent and we start taking videos with each other and just talking, which you don't do, and laughing, which you shouldn't do, and taking videos. I don't know if this is the 21st century hunting mechanisms, but this is what we were doing. And we just had an absolute blast. And something shifted in perspective where I thought I needed to be focused on one thing, immediately got rewired to where I need to shift to something else. How many of y'all know there's sometimes in life whenever you weren't expecting it to go a certain way? And if you keep going down that path mentally, it becomes frustrating. My daughter could have been very frustrating that day. This is frustrating. What are you doing out here? You shouldn't even be out here. This is just so frustrating. Right? And until we have an encounter with the Father heart of God, where God comes in and says, son, I need to shift your perspective because that's not the way the storyline is going anymore. And I don't know about you, but sometimes things happened in your story that you just weren't ready for. I wasn't ready for this to happen. I wasn't ready for marriage to break down. I wasn't ready to lose my spouse that young. I wasn't ready to lose a child that young. I wasn't ready to get this disease, or this wasn't how I dreamed it would go. I thought I was going to go right out into the woods, sit for 15 minutes, shoot the biggest buck of my life, have that thing field dressed in about 4.5 minutes, take it to Verlin, and we'd have summer sausage by the end of the day. Right? That's a beautiful story right there. Unfortunately, not everything is tied in a nice bow and is turned into a Hallmark movie. Sometimes life isn't so much a romance as it is a mystery or even horror at some times. How do we stay grateful in the grind? How do we keep our perspective when life gets really, really hard and tough sometimes? One of the movies that I enjoy is the movie 300. And in this movie, Leonidas, he is the warrior king over the warriors of Sparta. So he raises up all these Spartans. And he takes 300 Spartans against King Xerxes of Persia, and they go off to war. And one of his warriors, his name is Dilios, and this guy is like his right-hand man. And in battle, over the course of the battle, he gets a sword that comes across his face and cuts his eyeball out. Leonidas comes up to him, and he says, that scratch isn't going to slow you down, is it? And Dilios' response is, he said, it's okay, my king. The gods saw grace to fit me with a spare. He had a shift. I've actually got this clip here, if you wouldn't mind. Bill, can you hit those lights? And Jackson, hit the clip.
Helios, I trust that scratch hasn't made you useless.
Hardly, my lord. It's just an eye. God so fit to grace me with a spare.
My God.
That's perfect. He said it's just an eye. It's just an eye. And whenever you have a perspective based upon eternity, no longer do we get locked in the temporal. We get our eyes transfixed onto a higher place. I want to talk to you guys about three different people throughout history that had all of life hit the fan. And their response could have been bitterness and worry and spiraling, or their response could have been worship and gratitude. In Psalm chapter 46, we see King David, and he writes this. He says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth would give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Still, God is the Lord. The three men I want to talk to you about is Joseph, Job, and Horatio. Joseph, Job, and Horatio. Two are in the Bible, one is not. I'll let you guess which one is not. Here's the perspective that we are coached to have. Toward the end of Scripture, James writes, James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. I think there's a big difference between being thankful in it and being thankful for it. I'm not always thankful for it. I'm not always thankful for the trials. I'm not always thankful for the hardship. I'm not always thankful for the grind of life. But I can be thankful in it. Can I ask you this question? When life is hard, is God still worthy? Is he still worthy of my praise? Is he still worthy of my best? Life is really, really tough, and all of these hardships are coming, and I got ripped off, and this shouldn't have happened to my children. This shouldn't have happened to my life, and this shouldn't have happened to me. Is God still worthy to be worshiped in those moments? And I want to ask that our perspective would gain altitude real quickly, that we would get our eyes fixed, and that James would say, count it as joy. Something is being produced within you. And if we only look at the trial and not what it produces, we get locked, don't we? I thought it was supposed to go this way, and now I'm locked up. And I can't move on from this spot. My joy was locked maybe to that person or to that job or to that season of life or whatever, and I'm just not able to continue to soar. Now, I'm talking some of the most basic frustrations of life, and I'm talking the biggest frustration of loss and death and disease. God is still worthy through all of it. Let's check out these three situations. We see the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is that Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and Joseph is thrown into prison, and he's thrown into slavery by his brothers. The family just kicks him out. If you've ever felt like the black sheep, you're in good company. It's Joseph. You ever feel like you just don't fit in your family, or the family would just much rather have you out of here, or maybe you were even put up for adoption. I don't know what the story is, but you're not in the family anymore. And God says, just because you're not in that family doesn't mean that you're not in my family, and it doesn't mean I still don't have an awesome destiny for you. And so God begins to craft this destiny, and it's the turns and the curves and the spirals. How many of y'all know that a story that goes from A to B is a boring story? It's the story that's got the hooks and the dips and the tragedy and the recovery and the comeback and the romance and the thrill. It's all of it. That's the story of Joseph. So he gets lied about by his brothers. They act like he was dead. They tell his father that he was killed, and they bring back this bloody robe. Joseph is then taken on to Egypt, and he is sold into slavery. While in slavery, he just continues to rise because God has a prophetic gift upon his life. And he reads the mail of the cupbearer and the baker, and he reads the mail of Pharaoh. All of these people have these dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams. After all of the hardship of life that Joseph went through, Joseph eventually gets an audience with the king. And he tells the king, I know what your dreams are about. You had 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. Y'all know the story, right? And the years of plenty and this whole deal. And whenever this happens, the king says, well, who is wise enough to lead our country through this? And Joseph said, well, there's going to come a day where somebody's going to have to help you lead you through this. He should probably be pretty smart. He should probably have the ear of God. He should probably be tuned into God. I don't know. Maybe I would be a good candidate for this job. Joseph gets the role. And now Pharaoh says, you are in charge of everything in the country. Everything in Egypt obeys your command. And he gives him the signet ring. Now he's walking around Egypt. Joseph then gets Potiphar's daughter as his wife. Not a bad gig. Haven't seen her Instagram, but I'm sure she was lovely. He's now married to her, and they go on, they have 2 children. And in Genesis chapter 41, it says that he names his 2 children. Manasseh is one of the children, and Ephraim is the other child. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51, it says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, and he says, it is because God has made me forget all my trial and my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim, and he said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Joseph's perspective began to shift, and he says, the fruit of my life, the children of my life, Manasseh, God has made me forget. And Ephraim, God has made me fruitful. No matter what the suffering is, I think that God wants to make us forgetful and fruitful in our life. I forget the toil of the past, all of the hardship, all of the words spoken against, all of those arrows in my heart. There's something else, because what came from that, not that I all of a sudden have amnesia and I just forgot, but the blessing overrode the burden, right? You just, Maggie, 9 months of carrying this child, your body went through all kinds of stuff, right? I don't know what happened, but something happened, and all of these changes and hardships and just tough. And Ben, it was hard, wasn't it? Golly, man, that was rough on a dad. It's just tough for us. And then the pain of delivering a child, and nobody says, I just want to stop having kids. You're like, I just forget all of it because of how fruitful I love. Love overrides all of the hardship. Doesn't mean it wasn't hard. Doesn't mean it wasn't painful. Doesn't mean that I suffered through it. I don't have amnesia. I remember it well. But joy overrode all of the pain. And Joseph comes to this place. And church, I want to contend that we would come to a place this Thanksgiving season where I don't live so locked up in the bitterness or frustration or ache of the past. I'm moving on because there's been so much good fruit take place in my life. Another man we see in scripture is the man Job. The story of Job is Job's got all these kids. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got barns. He's got cattle. He's got 7,000 cattle and sheep and rams. He's got it all. The guy is loaded. He's one of the biggest farmers ever. He's just huge. He's a monster operation. And we know the story that when the enemy comes in and he whispers to God, he says, I want to wipe somebody out. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? He is blameless. There is no fault in him. And he says, you can attack him, but you can't touch his life. So this huge storm comes blowing in, and it wipes out all of his cattle. It wipes out all of his barns. The house falls in and kills all of his children. Multiple child death takes place here. And Joseph has these three friends that show up and start saying, or I'm sorry, Job says, he has these three friends, and Job's friends are saying, what have you done? You must have been in sin, and you must have, those are fun friends to have over, right? My child's dead. Please tell me what's wrong with my life. Those are cool friends to have. Hey, life is terrible. Tell me how awful it is. And these friends show up, and Job goes off with this response. In Job chapter 13 and verse 14, why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life into my hands? Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it does. God restores all. He restored. Job maintained his integrity through it all. Church, I want to encourage us that maybe God didn't intentionally do it, but he allowed some things to happen in life, or maybe just decisions that we've made. We've got ourselves into a pickle. We've made our bed, unfortunately. Through it all, Job has a perspective. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. Yet I will hope in him. I will trust in him. My heart will get repositioned to a place. Instead of accusing God and questioning God, I'm going to worship God. He said, why would I take my life into my own hands? And I'll tell you this, church, if you step out from underneath the covering and the blessing of God and become his accuser, it's a dangerous place to live, and you've taken your life into your own hands. I would much rather my life be in his hands and his goodness and grace, even when life is hard. Jesus, I gotta stay rock solid. I know that you're for me and you're with me. Last one, Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a successful businessman that lived in Chicago, and he had businesses kind of throughout. He was good friends with D.L. Moody, who was one of the main preachers there in the Chicago area. He had tons of business going on. This was in the late 1800s. And in 1871, the Chicago Fire breaks out and his business burns to the ground. Loses everything. This is a man who was majorly influential, not just in Chicago, but in the world, really. He's got his wife and four daughters, and he says, we just need to get out of here. How many of y'all know sometimes a change of scenery is nice to have whenever life is just too hard? I just need to change the scene. So they board a ship, and they are heading to Europe, and they're going to sail across the Atlantic Ocean to Europe. Horatio, at the last minute, gets pulled into more business on zoning laws because of the Chicago Fire. So he sends his wife and four daughters to Europe on this boat. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, their ship crashes into another ship, immediately sinking. Within 12 minutes, the entire ship is sunk. There's other cargo ships that are coming in trying to save people. Horatio's four daughters, all four of them drowned and die in the middle of the sea. His wife was saved and taken on over to Europe. She sends back this telegram that says, saved, alone, what shall I do? You ever felt like that? I'm saved, but I'm alone, and I don't know what to do. Horatio receives this message, and he hops on a ship, and he sails across the Atlantic Ocean, and the captain of the ship tells him, he says, sir, we're about to go over the waters of where your four daughters died. Put yourself in that moment. Horatio grabs a pen, a piece of paper, and begins to pen the words, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. A couple years later, Horatio and his wife have a son. Their son lived to the old age of four until he got the scarlet fever and died. Five children that passed away. And his response is, when peace like a river attenteth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Fascinating the language that he chooses here. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. Let this assurance that I have, this perspective that I have, control my mindset, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and he hath shed his own blood for my soul. He then goes into this place of salvation. God, I'm thankful, right? He says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death all in life. Thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis to thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, a song in the night, O my soul. As we close this morning, I want us to worship to It Is Well. And I want us to worship together, carrying your individual pain and hurt and aches and regrets and injustices, taking all of that to the throne of the Lord. And and humbly submitting, saying, I am not going to take my life as my own. I submit it all to you. And Jesus, even if you slay me in this life, still I will worship you. Still my hope is in you, O Lord. Still I'm banking on something much higher. And not just individually, let's come together as a corporate body and say, God, we as just humans take this fallen world before you. And Jesus, we just want to worship at your feet in all of our brokenness, that we would fix our eyes to a higher place, that we would fix our spirit man, that we would not focus on all of the destruction and all of the brokenness. We would fix our eyes on the Maker, the one who is rock solid, who's the bedrock of our faith. Church, would you stand with me this morning? And as we close, we're going to sing this song of worship to our God.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught, glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise.
And the Lord shall descend.
I pray for every situation that's in here, Lord, that you just bind up broken hearts, that you'd heal, that you'd set free, Lord. I pray that you'd be near and close as we move into this holiday season, Lord, that you would just meet people right where they're at. Encourage their hearts, lift their heads today, Father. Lord, I pray that we would gather strength and that all of the good that is still ahead, we forget the pain of the past and move on, because God, you're still faithful. You're still good. Encourage us to move on toward good life ahead. We honor you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Please, if you would, join us for a meal after the service.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.